Chapter 18. Law and context was horrible, Foggy decided. Not the subject itself, the teacher. She was horrible. Not horrible in the sense of being mean or cruel, but horrible in the sense of having good intentions and executing them badly. Very badly. Horribly. Law and context, or, as Professor Davis called it, law in context, uttered very slowly and very loudly for Matt's supposed benefit, was about, quite simply, what the rules were and why they operated they did in social, global, political, and economic contexts. But Foggy couldn't focus on that, not when the lecture content was being shouted, literally shouted, at Matt, who bore it all unflinchingly and said not a single word of complaint, a perfect Catholic, in other words. Foggy was neither perfect nor Catholic. He was tired and aggravated. He opened his mouth to say something, to tell Professor Davis that Matt was neither deaf nor able to lip-read, because based on the exaggerated movements of her lips, she seemed to think he could in fact read them. But then Matt reached across the desk and seized his hand, squeezing it and shaking his head slightly. That was as clear a communication of please don't as Foggy was likely to get, and he sighed, squeezing Matt's hand back to show that he understood, even if he didn't agree with the lecturer's teaching method, or with Matt's reluctance to correct her. Matt released his hand, and Foggy returned to taking notes, but it was a long 2 hours before the class let out. As soon as the lecture ended, the first thing Foggy wanted to do was head for the exits, but Matt usually preferred not to be pushed and shoved in the stampede of students in a hurry to leave the lecture hall, so he stayed where he was until Matt was ready. As soon as Matt picked up his cane and the pieces clicked together, Foggy moved. He slung his bag over his shoulder and put himself between Matt and the remaining stragglers, intent on preventing his roommate from being pushed, shoved, or grabbed. When they reached the hallway, Matt made immediately for the door that led, not to the cafeteria, but out of the main building and into the open air. Fresh and cold, winter air was preferable to braving the crushing mass of bodies crowding the hallways. Returning to the dorm was an even better idea, and Foggy didn't argue when Matt made a beeline for the building as soon as they reached the open air. He suspected his roommate was at his limit. He was, too. As soon as they reached the dorm, Foggy walked inside, set down his bag, flopped face first on his unmade bed, and groaned curses into a pillow. "Are you okay, Foggy?" Matt asked, a hint of amusement present in his tone. "Yeah," Foggy mumbled, rolling over and looking up at Matt. "Are you?" "Well, I'm not the one screaming into pillows, so I think so," Matt said, shrugging his shoulders. Foggy's lips twitched as he slowly sat up. It was just like Matt to take it in his stride and be completely unaffected, or to pretend to be. He frowned and studied Matt's expression, trying to read past that thin-lipped smile to the machinations that lay beneath the surface, wanting to know what Matt was really thinking. "How could you let her talk to you like that?" Foggy asked, staring at Matt, utterly perplexed by his calm demeanor. "Like what?" Matt said, his smile fading. "Like you're..." Foggy started and bit his lip, his words trailing off. "Deaf, blind, and stupid?" Matt supplied, shrugging his shoulders again. Foggy just looked at him for a long moment. It felt worse when Matt put it like that, in that matter-of-fact tone, almost as if Matt had decided a long time ago that if people thought less of him, he wasn't going to waste his time proving he was worth theirs. And yeah, while there was something to be said for letting future rivals and opponents make the mistake of underestimating Matt, he wasn't fool enough to think that his roommate was fine with being treated like he was stupid and slow. It was downright insulting. "How can it not bother you?" Foggy exclaimed, frowning deeply. "It bothers me," Matt said, His tone quiet and grim as he turned his face away to hide his expression. "Oh," Foggy mumbled, worrying at his lower lip. "People do it a lot, huh?" "Not a lot, just it's happened before," Matt admitted, not contributing any additional details. Foggy didn't expect him to, though. Matt wasn't the sort to complain about people or criticize, even when it came to twisted individuals like Stick. Foggy paused as that worrying thought occurred to him. Matt had never said a bad word about Stick. He'd admitted that Stick had hurt him, that he was dangerous, that he'd trained him and that Stick had some obscure code he lived by, but not once had he said that Stick was an asshole. That was concerning, and he quickly tucked the thought away to worry about later. "People should be better than that," Foggy mumbled, thinking of Stick, but also of Professor Davis. "Thank you, Foggy," Matt murmured, moving to sit on the edge of his bed. "For what?" Foggy asked, with a slight frown. "Caring," Matt said, his voice so low and his tone so sweet that Foggy felt a painful lump rise in his throat. He swallowed hard and moistened his lips with his tongue, at a complete loss for words. There was a sweet little upturn to Matt's lips, the smallest of smiles making Foggy's heart flutter and his breath catch. If Matt was currently listening to those things, he gave no sign, and Foggy sighed, wishing he knew what to say to him. "Matt," Foggy started, but let that single word trail off into silence for a moment, because there was just too much to say that he couldn't say. "You're welcome. Now come on, help me write this email." "You're going to email Professor Davis and say what exactly?" Matt asked, looking doubtful. "Please stop yelling at my blind classmate. You're giving me a headache," Foggy suggested with a shrug. Matt gave a little scoff that might have been a genuine laugh if he wasn't so obviously bothered by the way the professor spoke to him. Or perhaps, more worryingly, the way she spoke to him in front of dozens of other students, none of whom said, "Hey lady, cut that out, it's offensive and unhelpful." "Isn't it a little passive-aggressive to send an email complaining?" Matt mumbled, looking a little uncomfortable. "You think she'd rather I called her out in front of the entire class?" "I can do that. Or you can," Foggy said, watching Matt for a reaction. He didn't disappoint. "Email it is, then," Matt quickly agreed. "Just don't say anything that'll make her want to mark us down later on, okay? I need to graduate summa cum laude. My GPA has to be perfect." Foggy frowned and said nothing for a moment. It was an admirable goal, certainly, aiming to graduate at the highest academic level, but he was a little concerned about the amount of pressure Matt was placing himself under in order to achieve that. He wasn't worried about Matt handling that kind of pressure. It was more concern about why Matt felt the need to place himself under that kind of pressure in the first place. "You'd still be a lawyer, even if you didn't graduate summa cum laude, you know," Foggy said, his tone tentative. "Yeah, but," Matt started, cutting himself off almost immediately. "But," Foggy said, gently probing for the reason behind Matt's need to strive for perfection. Matt didn't say anything for almost a full minute. Then he slowly slid his glasses off and set them on the nightstand, still holding the cane. He started turning his white cane over and over in his hands, while Foggy watched the graceful movements of his fingers, privately thinking that Matt could have been a baton twirler in another life. "It's the first thing people notice, Foggy," Matt said, his voice unbearably thin and fragile. "I'm blind. They see this cane, and they make their own assumptions. I have to prove myself. I need to graduate summa cum laude, so that nobody can question whether I can do this." "Okay," Foggy said with a heavy sigh. "Matt?" "Yeah," Matt replied, his head bowed over the cane in his hands. "I'm sorry," Foggy mumbled, swallowing hard. "I'm sorry it was the first thing I noticed about you when we met. The cane, I mean. I don't anymore." The cane stopped spinning. Matt stilled, but didn't speak. All Foggy could hear was his own heart pounding in his chest, but then Matt raised his head and smiled, a true, genuine smile, with warmth and depths of emotion behind it that Foggy couldn't hope to define. "Apology accepted," Matt said, his voice scarcely more than a whisper. "Thank you," Foggy replied, as Matt nodded and got up, moving to his desk and taking the cane with him. "I'm gonna write this email." "Okay, Foggy," Matt muttered, not turning around. Instead, he sat at his desk and took his tablet out of its case, plugging in his earbuds. Foggy reached down and slid his own laptop from his bag, wondering as he did so how he could have ever missed the fact that while Matt didn't have a family's expectations driving him to excellence, he did have the weight of the expectations of every single person he met who saw that cane and not the guy holding it. Matt Murdock had a lot to prove to the world and to himself. End chapter 18.